You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, folks, I'm back. And let me see here. What have I got lined up? Okay. I've got an announcement here for all of those of you living in the Round Valley. In the Round Valley, the Hour of the Time did not air last week. Did not air last week, so this is the first Hour of the Time you've heard in a while. One of our own is ill. Many of you know Chris and Karen Ryder. Chris has been with the Department of Public Safety for 24 years, helping to keep our highways safe. Chris has just been diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor. So those of you who know Chris and Karen Ryder, please keep them in your prayers. Let them know that you care about them and make yourself available to help out should they need it. Chris and Karen have both helped out in this community. Chris, as you know, has served the state of Arizona and this particular community for many years, and so we owe them. So please do that. Once again, Chris Ryder, a veteran Department of Public Safety officer for 24 years, just been diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor, which all of you know sometimes can be turned around, but it can be very bad. So keep him in your prayers, keep the whole family in your prayers, and if you know them personally, please let them know that how much you care and that you're available to help them out should they need you. And chances are they will.
Go!
Ladies and gentlemen, just recently in a nationally syndicated column written by Bob Just, an incredible admission was published all across the country. And if you go to our website and click on the Veritas News Service and then click on the headline story in red, you can read along with me because I'm going to read that column to you tonight. Bob Just, for those of you who don't know who he is a well-known liberal, left-wing, Democrat columnist. And what he wrote in this column is incredible, and this is why I can tell you for sure there's a backlash running rampant across this country. Al Gore hasn't got a clue, and he hasn't got a chance of winning the presidency unless they blatantly fake the vote count. And I'm talking electoral vote count as well as the popular vote count. They're going to have to fake it to get this scum-sucking, puke-faced, lying, Marxist, socialist traitor in the White House again. And it doesn't mean that George Bush is any better. Either one, we're still going to get a new world order and a one-world government if we don't stop it. After all, it was George Bush Jr.'s father who first said those words since Hitler last echoed them. And Hitler talked about the new world order, the new economic order, the new socialist order, all the time. So this new world order is not going to be any different than what Hitler envisioned. In fact, it will be worse because of the proliferation of technology that Hitler could only dream of. So here's the column, and if I don't finish it tonight, I will finish it tomorrow night. In any case, everybody out there needs to hear it. This is an incredible admission by a left-wing liberal Democrat who admits what we've known all along. And he really calls it, like I've been telling you for years. He finally realizes what's going on. The only thing, what he thinks has to be done about it, is so far off base, it's pathetic. But we'll get to that later. The title is Fascism, Corruption, and My Democratic Party by Bob Just. 10 years ago, Newsweek magazine shocked mainstream America with a cover story headlined Thought Police. A lengthy report on a new social political movement developed on college campuses since the 1960s. Ironically, 1 year after the Berlin Wall came down, and 1 year before the fall of the Soviet Empire, Americans were being seriously warned that liberal academia had adopted a hybrid Marxist philosophy often called PC. This new, politically correct creed was being espoused, according to Newsweek, at hundreds of colleges and universities as a result of the growing influence of a generation of campus radicals. If they no longer talk of taking to the streets, it is because they now are gaining access to the conventional weapons of campus politics, social pressure, academic perks, including tenure, and, when they have the administration on their side, outright coercion. Where the PC reigns, one defies it at one's peril. And that's taken directly from Newsweek, December 24, 1990. After that, PC attitudes were heavily criticized and even mocked by mainstream thinkers all around the country, liberal and conservative. And yet, in 1992, America elected into power an administration that in many ways adhered to the PC worldview, thus beginning a process of change unforeseen not only by most Americans, but by most Democrats as well. I have known for a long time that there were serious problems in my party, but I didn't fully grasp the political nature of those problems. Sometimes it takes a simple, symbolic moment to cause an epiphany, to bring clarity. And that happened to me this past May. Now remember, folks, I'm reading a column written by the very liberal, left-wing Democrat, Bob Just. My awakening. When I read about people spitting on the honor guard at the New York State Democratic Convention May 16th, I started to understand what has happened to my party over the last few years. Now, I'm going to read that again just so you know what he's talking about. When I read about people spitting on the honor guard at the New York State Democratic Convention May 16th, I started to understand what has happened to my party over the last few years. I still can't get over the fact that Democrats attending a formal convention would so insult the American flag, but it happened. As an honor guard of Albany police officers entered the convention hall with band playing and lights shining, they were spit on and called Nazis by a number of people on the delegate floor. On top of that, no Democrat nearby stopped the spitters or even reported them, and the Democratic leadership expressed no public outrage. I was so outraged at my party's lack of outrage that I started a reward fund to find the spitters, but I soon realized that I needed to address the larger issue of what I had come to understand. I direct this commentary to the mainstream elected officials of my party, the adults, as the media often calls them. Whether you are still in office or retired, you can have a profound effect in waking up the party and the public. I see clearly now that the path the party is taking will eventually lead to its destruction and to the destruction of liberty in America. Are you listening to this, folks? It is practically mathematical, and it won't take very long in years if nothing is done to stop it. This is one of the people that called me an extreme right-wing alarmist radical for saying the same thing on the air over the last 9 years. I continue. I have been a Democrat all my life. I grew up in New York City in a staunchly Democratic middle-class family. Although private school educated, I had financial assistance thanks to Trinity School. My father was a union man, a musician with the Metropolitan Opera. My parents and step-parents were all Roosevelt Democrats. As a young English teacher in Montclair, New Jersey, during the Richard Nixon Watergate scandal, I drove around with a bumper sticker saying, "Don't blame me, I voted for McGovern." I was proud to be on the side of right, as I saw it. I was proud to stand against corruption and the abuse of power. Now, 25 years later, I am ashamed to be a Democrat. More than that, I have come to fear my own party. Let me read that again. This is very important. More than that, I have come to fear my own party. Hatred and corruption, the roots of fascism, are on the march in America as they have never been before, and leading this march is the Democratic Party. Increasingly, mainstream Democrats are uncomfortable with what we see in our party. We may not have a real name for it, but we know it is dangerous. exactly what I've been telling you, using the exact same words. The totalitarian choice in Alabama. On Sunday, June 18th, the headline of the Washington Post read, "Political dirty tricks alleged in Alabama trial." But the story revealed something far more serious than dirty tricks. A Democrat lawyer and a private investigator are now being tried for attempting to defeat a Republican candidate in 1998 by bribing a prostitute to accuse the Republican of raping her. How many of you have read Majesty 12 on our website? This is exactly what I said they do to control politicians, and here you're hearing it admitted by a major syndicated Democrat left-wing liberal columnist who's a member of the Democrat Party. Accuse the Republican of raping her in order to defeat him or blackmail him. The prostitute recanted and turned witness against the two Democrats. The Republican, Lieutenant Governor Steve Windham, was elected when the prostitute confessed. But let's consider what his political opponents were willing to do to him. This was not political rumor mongering, which is bad enough. These two men allegedly took direct action to destroy Windham's reputation in the community, shame him before his family, and basically ruin his life. We all know from history that when totalitarian forces, driven by their dysfunctional fury, seek to uproot the political establishment, they will use any means necessary. Bribery and character assassination are easy choices for them, even murder, because civilized limits are meaningless to the Stalins, Hitlers, and Maos of the world. Their goal is to grab power, and the party. The party, whether communist or Nazi, is the highest good. Loyalty to the party is everything because the party is the country. These two Democrats were apparently willing to destroy everything precious to a Republican man because he stood between their party and political power. It is the totalitarian choice. The question is, how deep does it go into the party and what motivates it? Well, it's no longer a political party. What we are dealing with here has nothing to do with American politics. In fact, I worry that as the Democrats increasingly adopt fascist tactics, they will cease being a genuine political party, focused on honest debate and decision by fair ballot. They could become one day something more related to the fascists of 1930s Germany, and there he says it, exactly what I've been telling you all along. Socialism. Socialism. German Workers' National Socialist Party. That's what Nazi means. Nazis were socialists. Hitler was a socialist. And up until now, I was the only person in this whole world who identified the two together, and now this left-wing, liberal, Democrat, syndicated columnist has done exactly the same thing. This is an incredible admission. They could become one day something more related to the fascists of 1930s Germany. The SA, or brown shirts, were not interested in debate and civil rule. They wanted power in order to force the democratic nation to accept their Nazi agenda. If I am right about the fanatical direction of my party is taking, then America has never faced a danger like this, and real Democrats who stand by and watch will be as guilty before history as the actual leaders of this corruption movement. No, sir, Mr. Just, they'll be dead, because patriots like me, who have been readying themselves all across this country, who identified this problem years ago, will not allow it. Will not allow it, and when it reaches that stage, we will simply restore constitutional Republican government. And if they want to try and stop us, then they'll find themselves hanging from the nearest tree. That's the truth. You know, you all can get very angry with me if you want to, but I've never told you anything other than the truth over the years. And I have been consistently proven to be right. And tonight, once again, I am reading you an admission by a major left-wing liberal Democrat columnist syndicated all over the country who's telling you that I've been right all along. But he hasn't got the balls to apologize to me for all of the things he and all of these other people have written and said about me over the years. But that's okay. See, when you step out on the battlefield, you expect to get shot at. And I've certainly been shot at. But now, see, he's going to get shot at by his own party because he dared to write this. You watch and see. This is incredible. When did the party start making its shift to this strange other form? Some Democrats would say the sexual revolution, abortion, and other moral issues were the beginning. However, I am not talking here about party alignment over the social issues, although they have been a major contributing factor. There were many other issues in dispute among Democrats during the waning years of the Cold War. But whether we agreed or not, all issues were seen as debatable opinions of the party's majority leadership. Reagan Democrats just voted Republican and hoped the liberal Democrats would come to their senses. There was still freedom of thought within the party and in public debate, but something happened which changed all that. Suddenly, the traditional restraint of civilized limits was gone. Gone was comity. Gone was loyal opposition. It was somewhere in the mid-90s, perhaps around the time the Republicans seized control of Congress for the first time in 40 years. The panic among Democrats and the panic within the Clinton administration may have been the turning point. Whenever it was that the dam cracked, it had exploded by the end of 1998. The year of living dangerously. As mainstream Democrats watched the impeachment trials, we experienced a feeling of vast separation. It was like watching actors on a stage playing the famously recognizable roles from Watergate, but saying the wrong lines. We heard that lying under oath and bold-faced lying to the American people didn't rise to the level of an impeachable offense. Famous phrases from the past appeared twisted beyond recognition as we learned that the President of the United States is not, quote, below the law, end quote. Where were the lines we knew so well from our youth? Quote, have you no shame, sir, end quote. Or later, quote, what did the President know and when did he know it, end quote. Or how about the greater words that inspired a generation of Democrats, words that put the very wind in our youthful sails. Quote, ask not what your country can do for you, etc., etc., end quote. Or, judge not by the color of skin, but by the content of character. Where were the words of American tradition, duty, honor, country? These were never just Republican words. During the Clinton impeachment trial, we listened to honored senators like Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut and Daniel Patrick Moynihan of New York. They spoke high-sounding words of outrage, but in the end, actions betrayed words. In the end, even these honorable men defended party over principle. They rationalized and let the party fall. Everyone knows it. History will show it. They let one man's behavior compromise the integrity of the Democratic Party. In the process, they turned their backs on the traditions of our past, symbolized by men like President Harry Truman. We looked for truth during the impeachment and trial process and watched hopefully as the wise men of the party in the House and the Senate expressed concern, then made excuses, and finally voted lockstep to defend party power. Sure, they had their reasons. They also, I believe, did not grasp the significance of the vote, a symbolic alignment with the corrupt elements in the party, an act of submission that sent a message across America from Hollywood to Wall Street and beyond. Anything goes. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I now have the exact year that the New World Order is scheduled to be fully implemented, in place, and in control. That year is the year 2013. The last major changes will occur in the year 2012. This is direct from the horse's mouth. It's their revised timetable. It could be revised again. Remember, it was originally by the year 2000. Well, thanks to people like me and many other people who have worked diligently to expose their bullshit crap, it didn't happen the year 2000. And so they have revised their timetable. So it is scheduled to be in place, in operation, in complete and total power, world totalitarian socialism in the year 2013. So now you know exactly how many years you have left. And the longer you wait to do something about it, the less chance you're going to have to be able to do anything at all. I continue with the column written by Bob Just, a left-wing, liberal, member of the Democratic Party, syndicated columnist. But it is on videotape. At the MCI Center fundraiser in Washington, Robin Williams, you all know him, the well-known obscene comedian, who occasionally makes a decent movie without obscenity, but if you ever see him in person, don't take your children, and don't plan to stay long if you have any morals whatsoever. Robin Williams performed before a crowd of corporate and Democrat dignitaries, people who would that very night raise the party over $26 million. The fundraiser, including Williams' performance, was broadcast live on C-SPAN. However, that didn't stop Robin Williams from doing some kind of seedy nightclub act. He used the F-word and other obscenities several times. C-SPAN later cut this out when the event was rebroadcast. Imagine a grand room full of powerful Democrats, representatives of America's oldest political party, highest-ranking members of the United States government, including the president, his wife, and many others. And the F word is being said over and over and over again with cameras recording. As in the case of the harassment of the Honor Guard at the Albany Democratic Convention, the specific violation was bad enough. But the most egregious violation was the passive, cowardly acceptance of the audience. The hardest thing to believe, for those of us who remember America before 1992, was that the President, Vice President, and Mrs. Clinton were at this fundraiser sitting there listening to this. Did none of them think to stand up and leave? Didn't anyone in the audience consider booing the smutty language spoken before the assembled dignitaries? No. There was only laughter. Even when Robin Williams noticed a child was present and joked about the new words he was learning that night, even then no one objected. Not one Democrat dared step forward and condemn the moment. Peer pressure is a powerful and coercive thing for adults as well as children. One breaks ranks at one's peril. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, how I've compared adult society with high school society over the years? It's exactly the same, and here he's telling you the same thing I've been telling you all these years. Rather than stand up and say it's wrong and be thrown out of the in crowd, silently accept it and move on. I continue. Peer pressure is a powerful and coercive thing for adults as well as children. One breaks rank at one's peril. And I'm sure it wouldn't have been good for business for the party leadership to create embarrassment at such a high-level Hollywood corporate function. So everyone laughed. This is not about politics. This is about corruption. Stop and think about it. Somehow Robin Williams knew that no one would object if he used the F word and the S word continually, even on national television. How did he know no one would walk out on him? Apparently, Williams knows something about the Democratic Party that most little guy Democrats like me don't know, not to mention the little guy Republicans who are still embarrassed by MTV, thank God. Robin Williams knows the party has become corrupt. Democrat leaders have lost their way. They find themselves at the head of a parade full of people Harry Truman or even Jack Kennedy wouldn't recognize, radicals of various kinds who think that Western civilization began in 1969. Strangely, without meaning to, mainstream Democrats find themselves representing this corruption movement. Mainstream Democrats find themselves representing this corruption movement. However, for the new fascists in the party, there is nothing so strange about it. Fascists have always sought to leverage corruption for the sake of power. In William Scherer's seminal book, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, listen to his famous description of Hitler. And I quote, "He who was so monumentally intolerant by his very nature was strangely tolerant of one human condition, a man's morals. No other party in Germany came near to attracting so many shady characters." Shady characters, I should add, who are useful because they will do whatever it takes to win. End quote. Carried to its extreme, this corruption movement will destroy us all. It is compulsive in its lust for power. It is an anti-establishment lobby that is vast and very powerful. Right now, the specific labels don't matter, and there are too many to name here, from corporate greed to union greed to organized crime to special interest causes. It is a long list, however. The core desire of this group, conscious or unconscious, is to tear down everything traditional and decent in this country. Full of personal anger and a desire for radical change at whatever cost, these people wish to reimagine an America they have never understood. The party, Uber Alles. Fueled by anger, the new fascists have completely adopted the radical 60s notion of the honest con. In other words, they think that because they are correct in their beliefs, and because in their minds what they fight is so evil, just about any act can be committed for the sake of victory, and certainly lying is no problem. Loyalty to the cause is at the heart of this mindset. And for the moment, at least, the heart of their loyalty is President Clinton. Now, just because that's what he says here, and that's what they believe, doesn't mean that they are correct in their beliefs. It doesn't mean that what they fight is so evil at all. In fact, these people are so warped, I doubt that they could even verbalize what it is that they're so angry about. And that's an aside from me, folks, not in the column. I continue. Allegiance to the Clintons personally has become a key factor of the current corruptive atmosphere. During the Starr investigation, this allegiance took a particularly extreme form. According to award-winning investigative reporters Susan Schmidt and Michael Weisskopf, who worked together at the Washington Post throughout the Starr investigation, the Clintons operated like a crime family, expecting friends and aides to protect them even against their own best interests. And yet, despite this demand of personal loyalty to the leader, blind loyalty to cause and party is the larger problem. Quote, "This administration sets their own standards of loyalty. If they don't think you're one of them, they don't want you around," end quote, said one Secret Service agent I talked to recently who has served under a number of administrations at the national level, including serving the current one. Quote the Secret Service agent, "It's something you expect from a Nazi Germany, the party overall, the party über alles," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the Secret Service is quoting me. Can you believe believe this? Sometimes party loyalty asks too much, said President Kennedy in a different era. And yet these days, loyalty to a higher right than the party is apparently no longer an option among inner circle Democrats. Even the Federal Bureau of Investigation was used by the Clinton administration to double-check people's loyalty to the cause, according to 25-year FBI veteran Gary Aldrich. Your conscience is not yours to obey. The cause is everything. Thus, traditionally, neutral governmental agencies from energy to defense to state to justice to the Internal Revenue Service increasingly seem to be loyal to something other than the American people. And that's exactly what President Clinton did to me. First, he named me the most dangerous radio host in America simply because I tell the truth, and the truth is exactly the opposite to the lies that they tell in Washington, D.C. And then he sicked every agency of federal government on me personally, my wife, and our two little children. But they made a big mistake. Because I'm one of the few people in this country who will draw a line, I will stand on that line, and heaven help anyone who tries to cross it. You see, because I'm like the men who founded this country, I'm willing to die for what I believe in. I'm willing to die for freedom, and I'm one of the few people in this entire world who understands that if you're not willing to die for freedom, you cannot have it. Cannot have it. Recently, former prosecutor Charles LaBella was interviewed on Fox News, Hannity and Combs, about the fundraising scandal of 1996 and about LaBella's memo to Reno recommending an independent counsel. The news had just broken that Robert Conrad Jr., LaBella's successor as special prosecutor for the Justice Department, had also recommended to Attorney General Reno that there be an independent counsel. I know what he's going through, said LaBella, talking about Conrad's politically incorrect decision and the price he would pay for disloyalty. You're made to feel radioactive, isolated, like I was, like you're the enemy, and we're going to show you what team sports are all about. You play with us, or you don't play. So much for Conrad's career, and so much for making decisions based on the facts and the law. LaBella paid a price, too, famously losing a plum federal job in San Diego. Those who are disloyal pay a price, but those who are loyal are rewarded. Consider the White House travel office scandal that occurred when Clinton took office in what the Washington Post called a shabby episode. Mrs. Clinton had made it clear to White House senior officials that she wanted to replace the White House travel office employees who had served the American people faithfully with loyalists who would serve the Clintons faithfully. Suddenly, Billy Dale, the head of the travel office, was fired and accused of improper financial practices. The court cleared him in record time, according to Dale, but he was nearly ruined. Sound familiar? Well, it does for me, folks, because I've been the target of this kind of thing. I know exactly what it feels like. And in the end, the goal was accomplished. Dale and his staff were out, and loyalists were in. Democrats can redeem the party from this kind of party-first fascism, but for that to happen, mainstream Democrats must wake up, including the 80% of the media who are Democrats. Instinctively, we all know the dangers of what I am describing. It is simply not an American way of doing things. We must dare to understand and communicate what is really going on in our party and in our country, and this is where Bob Just takes leave of reality. You see, he called it, he named it, he recognized what's happening here, but he still doesn't understand that these people are not American at all. They are Marxist, socialist, change agents whose agenda is a one-world totalitarian socialist government, which eventually will lead us into world communism. It's a case. It's a case of seeing finally the trees and understanding that those trees are there, but he can't see the forest. And he goes on. People are essentially innocent and fair-minded. They look for reasons in debate. Power-grasping totalitarians know this, and no matter what the country, they always supply some plausible response. They seek to empower the people. They seek to re-establish national pride or to correct social injustice. Consider the irony that racial injustice has long been a popular cause with fascists. For the Nazis, it was white power. But for other fascists, it could be black power. It doesn't matter what the reasons are. America's corruption movement may be politically empowered by reasons, but it is not truly motivated by them. It is motivated by something far more basic, according to Bob Just. He goes on. Oh, by the way, folks, he has also a nationally syndicated radio broadcast. On my radio show, I always like to demonstrate a key principle with a current news story. The principles of life are everywhere in the news. One need only look for them. Famous supermodel Naomi Campbell was recently accused of attacking two former employees in separate incidents. The story was covered June 23rd on ABC's 2020. Ms. Campbell confessed that her violent temper is rooted in her childhood. In one of the attacks, Campbell's irrational, out-of-control temper led her to assault her former assistant, Georgina Galanis, with a blunt instrument. She pleaded guilty, but more than that, she was brave enough to reveal to the public exactly where her rage came from. "There are a lot of issues that I have from childhood," Campbell told Barbara Walters. "For instance, not knowing your father, not seeing your mother. It manifests a lot of feelings. One of those feelings is anger." She went on to talk about her insecurity, lack of self-esteem, and loneliness. Naomi Campbell is not the only person whose father abandoned her before she was born, and whose mother was a distant presence in her life. And I'm going to have to cut in here because fathers don't always abandon their children. Sometimes mothers take the children and abandon the father, and these corrupt courts in this country always, in every case that I've ever seen or known, support the mother. So here he is, still trying to be politically correct. He's not educated quite yet, even though he pretends to be. He's still a Democrat. Our neighborhoods around the country, both minority and white, are increasingly full of such children. The June issue of the journal Pediatrics declares that nearly three times as many U.S. children have emotional and behavioral problems as did 20 years ago. Rage is everywhere in our adult society, too. Just listen to the words of gangsta rap music, are the words spoken at some of the radical rallies in Washington, D.C. Rage is the raw material of the new fascists. They know how to focus it and give it a cause and how to direct it at their enemies. And, oh, yes, they do. How many times have you heard them call this broadcast and vent their irrational, stupid even, unable to debate anything but raging, incoherent. Absolutely amazing. Rage is the raw material of the new fascists. They know how to focus it and give it a cause and how to direct it at their enemies. This process has now become so obvious that it's time we face up to it and identify it in our national political dialogue. In fact, Facing up to it is the only way we can save ourselves and save this grand experiment in political and religious freedom we call America. I'm going to read that again to you because it's the exact words I've been echoing to you since 1988. Listen to this. It's almost as if he's been listening to the hour of the time. And he may have been. I don't know. I'm not accusing him of that. He might take great offense to that. But doesn't it sound like it? Really? All of you who've listened to me for all of the years of this broadcast, doesn't it sound like he is echoing everything that I've ever said? Rage is the raw material of the new fascists. They know how to focus it and give it a cause and how to direct it at their enemies. This process has now become so obvious that it's time we face up to it and identify it in our national political dialogue. Now listen to this very carefully because he's telling you the truth. In fact, facing up to it is the only way we can save ourselves and save this, quote, grand experiment, end quote. Where have you heard that before? In political and religious freedom we call America. Well, I can't take credit for grand experiment. The founding fathers said that over and over and over again in their speeches, in their writings, everything. I brought it to your attention that they said it, though. Now, I'm going to save the rest of this for tomorrow night because this is incredible stuff and I can't hope to finish it. And if I start another paragraph, I'm going to leave you hanging with an incomplete thought. And I don't want to do that. But listen to what this man has said. He's a nationally syndicated left-wing liberal member of the Democratic Party, radio talk show host, and columnist. And he has just admitted, so far, everything that I've been telling you since 1988 is absolutely 100% true. Now, I'm sure he doesn't want to do that. But he has had, as he calls it, an epiphany. He's had a revelation, is what he's had. He now realizes that everything that he has always professed to believe in is being destroyed by the very party that he believed was going to make sure that it was protected and safe and sound. He has identified the politics of it. He calls it fascism. He equates it with Nazi Germany and Hitler. But, ladies and gentlemen, it is socialism. Because, like most left-wing liberals, they still can't make the jump in logic that National Socialism, Hitler's Nazi party, Hitler himself, was a socialist political movement. Hitler socialized Germany. He calls it fascism. You can call it anything you want, ladies and gentlemen. It's old Karl Marx under the bedsheets with your wife. And that you can take to the bank because it's as good as gold. It's what I've been telling you for years and years and years and years. This man has finally recognized it, and he's telling us that if we don't do something about it right now, we will not be able to save ourselves, and this grand experiment, or great experiment, will not survive. So I'm telling you right now, get yourselves ready. Make sure you have guns, ammunition. Make sure you have a source of spiritual sustenance, whatever your source may be, the Bible. The Bhagavad Gita, I don't care what it is. In this country, you have the right to worship at the altar of your choice. The Book of Mormon, whatever it may be. The third star from the right. I don't care, as long as your religion doesn't entice you or teach you to harm any other human or any other human's property. Make sure you have food and water. Make sure that you're trained. Make sure that you go see the movie Braveheart and The Patriot. And make sure that you understand, if you really believe in freedom, if you really want to live free, if you really want to pass that down to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, your posterity, then you must be willing to die for it, because if you're not, you cannot have it. And if you cannot have it, you cannot pass it on to them. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. Listen to this ode to Hillary, because this is about what's happened to her. And believe me, she has outgrown Billy Boy, who is now running for his life. Been listening to The Hour of the Time with yours truly, William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America.
Take me to your ladder, lady. I'll see your leader later.
You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager, classic radio like you always wished it could be. Stay tuned now for all oldies most of the time. Uninterrupted music until The Hour of the Time airs again tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Arizona time.
you ever heard?